welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is where we take a fresh look at ourselves and the world around us, and that includes our parish community. So we're going to be talking about that today on Take Two, and we want you to participate as you always do, because you are the catechists here. You are the teachers. With your lived experiences, we learn, we grow, we walk away a little bit changed, hopefully a little bit closer to God. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with the one and only Jerry Usher. Jerry, what is going on? We do not email each other. This is the truth, folks. We don't email each other. We don't call before the show, and we are constantly wearing the same color shirt every day.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is up with that?
So good. Weird. Question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very coincidental. Cool. Very coincidental. Maybe we have the same taste in particular colors. I don't know.
Right. Right. I feel like red today. I feel like blue today. Yeah. Too funny. But what do you think about this topic today, Jerry? We're asking our wonderful Take Two family, is your parish life thriving or just surviving? Big difference. Mm.
Very big difference. And, you know, the world has been through so much in the last couple of years, actually the last, well, since the foundation of the world, but in our lifetime, the last couple of years have been very, very topsy-turvy, chaotic, upside down in many ways. And things have started to get back a little bit to normal. And that includes life in our churches, in our Catholic parishes. And I definitely can speak to what's going on in my parish, how things have gone there and how they are going, and I will share that in a few minutes. Debbie can do the same thing. But again, as Debbie said, Take Two family. What about you? The parish that you attend, is it going strong again? Are you still kind of, you know, fighting back to get back to some semblance of normalcy? Are there still some challenges, restrictions? We just want to know how life in your parish is right now, because really, Debbie, we all want to have a vibrant Catholic community in our parish life. That is so very important to all of us.
That is so true. When your parish is vibrant with ministries booming and opportunities and fellowship building and all sorts of things happening, it really fuels you for the journey. You know, it really supports you and sustains you. But when we have all these strange circumstances that are happening in around us, and it does affect our parish community, it can kind of go flat sometimes. You know, people seem disengaged, and it just seems, you know, kind of, well, let's just face it. My dad used to say this all the time, that sometimes there are certain, you know, parish communities that just seem dead. Let's face it. My dad used to say it all the time. He used to say, boy, this, we would be in New Jersey and we'd go to mass, and he would say, now this parish is super flat, and get ready to snooze for 45 minutes. My dad would say that.
Really?
He actually would say that. Yeah, during mass. And I used to, as a kid, I used to think that was funny. But you know, as I've grown older, I've realized, you know, that, you know, he felt something, you know, that wasn't, you know, there in at the parish. But it's very sad, because the Mass, the Eucharist, is the source and summit of our faith. And, you know, parishes should be alive, alive in the spirit, alive with energy, and not, you shouldn't feel like you're going to fall asleep in the pew for 45 minutes or an hour. That's not a good thing. And so let's talk about it. Is your parish thriving or just surviving? What do you think about that, Jerry? I know that was kind of a little bit cynical, what my dad used to say, but, you know, hey, we're from Jersey. We don't have a filter, so.
Well, and this conversation goes beyond sitting in the pew at Mass. This goes, it also touches upon the different ministries in your parish. Parish outreach, for example, if you have a food pantry, or if you do acts of kindness to the homeless or things like that. This is really the entire parish that we're talking about here. Is yours thriving or just surviving? And I will confess, Debbie, I think I shared it on this show. I was doubtful. I didn't doubt that our parish would return and be, you know, kind of thriving again. But in the beginning, you know, once the lockdowns were lifted and so forth, I was concerned that people just were not going to come back to Mass. And a lot still have not. Okay, let's face it, that's in my parish. But at the same time, we are seeing a new vibrancy. We're back, of course, face-to-face with religious education. We've got about three times the number of students in religious ed this year than we had last year. We have lots and lots of altar servers, young people coming forth to fill that service role in the church. We have a seminarian from our parish. We have a man and his wife are going through the diaconate, just starting the permanent diaconate program. So I would give our parish the label thriving at this point. We're still work in progress, on the way, so to speak, but I'm very, very blessed at how things are going in my parish. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I would say the same for my parish as well. I would say that my parish is thriving, which is great, and, you know, ministry participation is up. People are coming back. Kids are coming back for religious education. That's wonderful. But I will tell you that, we started traveling again, obviously, because people rebooked after, 2020, rebooked certain speaking engagements and different events. And so I've been traveling around within the state of Arizona, and I have to tell you, I went to a mass recently, and I felt really bad for the celebrant. I felt really bad for the priest. His homily was completely flat. I mean, just flat. He had random brain thoughts. He was just all over the place. He couldn't hold a thought together, and I thought to myself, I don't want to be critical, but I thought, Father, did you prepare at all? Because, people are coming back and really need to be fed and really need to be recatechized. And it really bothered me. It really did. I have to tell you, having a background, extensive background in religious education, it just bothered me because this was a key time to really reach the parishioners. And so I wonder how many others, felt that way leaving the Mass. Now, granted, we're there for the celebration of the Eucharist, the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. So I understand that. But the homily is something that people look forward to. So I just, is that a factor? I mean, do we need to kind of, I don't know, get re-energized again, because I sometimes feel like there's some parishes that are booming and some that just seem kind of I'll say it again, kind of flat. Okay, the number to dial, jump in on this conversation, is 833-288-3986. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we always say, and you, informally we say, and you, because you are the key person. So please call in and tell us if your parish is thriving or surviving.
Yeah, let us know how life is going in the church that you attend. 833-288-3986. We're talking about Mass. We're talking about groups, organizations, Knights of Columbus, altar societies, prayer groups, anything going on in your parish. How is your parish thriving or surviving right now? We want to hear from you. 833-288-3986.
Today, is your parish life thriving or just surviving? And we shared about parish ministries and what's going on in your, Bible studies and stuff like that, and fellowship and homilies and all sorts of things. The whole parish community. Let's talk about it. You don't have to name your parish. Please don't. As a matter of fact, I would be better off if you don't. And let's just talk about what we can do to make things better. But real quickly, Jerry, I know we want to get to the phones. I just want to give the number out again. If you'd like to jump in, the number to dial is 833-288-3986. Two new books from EWTN Publishing: Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. And it's just an amazing, amazing book. And this volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness, which we all should be trying to do, and achieve your ultimate purpose to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, not just squeak into purgatory. Try to go for heaven. And then, of course, from our dear friend John Martinoni, Blue Collar Apologetics. I love the title. How to Explain and Defend Catholic Teaching Using Common Sense, Simple Logic, and the Bible. That is fantastic. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martinoni. They're available, both of them, at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Great. How is your parish life going right now? Again, we don't want you to name the parish. And this isn't to be critical of our parishes. Even if your parish is just kind of limping along right now, trying to get back up to where you were, maybe say a year or 18 or 24 months ago. Maybe you've got a booming parish. It's thriving. Maybe it's been really going strong all the way through the pandemics and the lockdowns and all of that. 833-288- 833-288-3986. We have room on lines for you at 833-288-3986.
Jerry, when we went into the break, I had shared with you about, I want some depth in the homilies. And then you shared something really wonderful about your parish and pastor.
Yeah, my pastor, he has had a brain tumor removed a few years ago and is still getting checkups for that and dealing with some residual issues. So I think all of that has helped to ground him more deeply in his faith, in his spirituality, but also the events that we have lived through in the past year and a half or so, 2 years, they have really, I think he's gone deeper. He's gone much deeper in his homilies. They are just like bullseyes every Mass we go to, daily Mass, weekend Masses. So I feel very, very blessed in that regard.
That is wonderful. Praise be to God. You know, we have a lot of clergy that listen to our show, and they actually have told us and have emailed us and said that they get homily material from Take Two and the calls that come in, which is so beautiful. So please, if you're listening right now and you are a priest, a pastor, a bishop, a deacon, please hear us, hear the faithful, okay? We need depth and we need strong, solid catechesis. And no complaints, no criticism, but just maybe go that one step further like Jerry's pastor is doing. I think it makes, look how it's made an impact on Jerry. So see how it works. So number to dial, is your parish thriving or surviving? We want to hear from you. This is a kind of a heavy topic, so you don't need to name names or name priests or name churches. We don't want that. But just share with us the circumstances. 833-288-3986. Fill those last phone lines, please, so we can have a robust discussion.
Yeah. And we're going to go to Linda here in a second. Just one other thought I had. And this, the Take Two family, you know how important your participation is, because you may be having a great experience in a thriving parish. Others may not. And some of the things that you share, they could take those things to prayer, maybe talk to their pastor, maybe talk to their fellow parishioners. And that could be the key to kind of getting them moving in the right direction again. So you really inspire and educate and edify with your takes on the program. So keep that in mind. 833-288-3986. Linda is in Bryan, Ohio, listening on Redeemer Radio. Hello, Linda. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
My church is a sister parish, and so one of the churches is bigger than the other. And I kind of live in the middle, so I go to both. But I'm more involved in the littler one right now. And our priest came in July of 2020, young and vibrant and great. He is. But he came in 2020, which he doesn't really know what our church should look like. And it's not there. We are, of course, not every other pew anymore. There's some very few masks, which, that's okay. So we're kind of back to normal in those areas. But I'm a religious ed teacher, elementary. I'm 71 years old, and my kids are not coming to Mass. The church has no children in it. We have no servers to serve our child base. I mean, that's a dying church if you don't have children in your church. I think over this COVID thing, parents who were already lackadaisical about getting their children to Mass are now fine with not getting their children to Mass. I'm inviting these kids, reminding them that of it's a commandment, not a suggestion. But they're out of my children, third, fourth, fifth graders, they say, we can't come, we're busy. We got a baby shower to go to, or we have, I've got a game out of town. This is coming out of their mouths. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I want the children back in church, because I think that's a sign of a thriving church. And I
Absolutely.
Don't know how to do that.
Well, start by praying, of course, Linda. I mean, there's nothing, not a whole lot you can practically do because, I mean, the families, it's up to the parents to get the kids to school, to get them into religious education. And I know that my pastor, we were streaming masses on our Facebook page when there was the dispensation to go to mass, and we were still kind of in the eye of the storm of the pandemic and so forth. But as soon as things opened up, the pastor said, that's it, no more Facebook streaming. He didn't want to give people an excuse to continue to stay away. Now, unfortunately, a lot of them still have, but there is hope. There is hope because I came into this parish right about the time that the pandemic was going and building up some momentum. And we have really come back to a large extent. I mentioned the religious education. We're a small parish. We had about 35 kids last year on Zoom, and this year we're pushing up to about 100 right now. But the parents, again, it's the parents' responsibility to do that. And as far as the altar servers, we had 9 altar servers at the 11 o'clock Mass on Sunday that I went to. So there's hope. I'm telling you these things, Linda, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to tell you there is hope. And really, this is what God wants. God wants vibrant parishes, and God wants our children in church learning their faith in religious education, which, by the way, thank you, Linda, for being a religious ed teacher. I am involved in that right now. I have far less experience than Debbie does. But, Debbie, I know you can really appreciate where Linda is with all of this right now.
Oh, absolutely, Linda. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. But, you know, here's my take on things. We have to stop giving people gravy. We got to give people the meat and potatoes, okay? And because if you think about it, we have watered down so much of the catechesis in order to be, I don't know, maybe accepted by all, and now it's being rejected by so many because God is being put on the shelf in general, especially with the younger generations coming up. They tend to put God on a shelf. If they need God, they pull him down off the shelf, and that's the way it works. If everything else is going good in their lives, then it's okay. Everything's great. That's why there's a rise in everybody saying, well, I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, what exactly does that mean? Has anybody truly ever defined that? Answer, no. It really is something that they use just to get people to back off of trying to get them to join a church or go to mass or go and belong to a community. So I think we got to get back to catechizing people honestly, authentically, the real, complete truth of our faith. And we got to get serious about it and recatechize and give people a depth. And I think people will be drawn into that because, you know, we were created to get back to God. So what does that mean? Like St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So obviously we are hungry for something. We're searching and thirsty for something. What do you think, Linda?
I think you're absolutely right. Our catechization is lukewarm. We have lost a couple of things. We have lost the beauty and the awesomeness, the reverence, the devotion in the Mass as a prayer. And we've also lost truly teaching our children. But the thing of it is, my parish, for example, I think we neglect the adults terribly. I think we neglect the adults, especially those in the child rearing ages. We have allowed, I have not been involved in the program that long, but we've allowed the parents to just drop them off and, you know, pick them up and not be a part of anything. And last year we got a new program and I'm trying to incorporate the parents and it is hard. They really are of the mindset that, you know, 1 hour a week is enough and you can do it.
Yeah. It's frustrating. As a religious educator, it's very frustrating because the parents are the primary catechists, and you cannot expect your child to be fully catechized in 1 hour in a classroom setting and to have all of the, you know, necessary tools and education to be able to be, you know, fully you know, embraced and immersed in the Catholic faith, because it's just not going to happen. It has to be reinforced at home. And so parents must get involved at some level. I agree with you, Linda. What do you think, Jerry? You're in religious education.
I think all it would take is one generation of parents doing that, and you're guaranteed that every generation down the line is going to do the same thing. Because once you send that message to your own kids that Mass is, it's important that I drop you off, but not that I go, well, what are they going to do when their parents are, or what are they going to do when they're 18? They're going to stop going to Mass. So it is a huge, huge problem, one that we need to really storm heaven and ask God for a renewal of authentic Catholicism in our catechesis, and not just the intellectual part of it, but the spiritual part of it as well, yes. And the discipline. Kids, yes. You have to come. Parents, you have to come. There's a mm-hmm. reason for this, and give them those reasons. Don't just say just because. Okay, so yeah, a lot of work needs to be done.
What do you think, Linda? Did we sum it up okay?
I think so. With my bottom line is, I don't think anybody's going to come to Jesus until they know him and love him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting that across to my kids yet, but I'm working on that.
Linda, just tell them what you feel about Jesus. I tell people
exactly
all the time, people ask me all the time. I say, I am madly crazy in love with Jesus. All I want to do is talk about Jesus. All I want to do is sing about Jesus, pray to Jesus, talk to Jesus, and tell people that if they
that I go over the top too much. But I even asked the children, when did you find out that God, you know, that Jesus was over the top in love with you? Because first I start with Jesus loving them. Now I go, when did you find out that you loved Jesus? And you know, they just start connecting Mass and worship. They're at an age where if it's not fun, they're not going to do it. And their parents aren't teaching them, okay, sometimes you need to do things that aren't fun. But, you know, I don't know. I'll just keep saying that.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, your heart's in the right place, Linda.
I teach third and fourth and fifth grade because we have a lack of teachers and a lack of numbers in the kids. I mean, it's not like I have a lot of kids. In that mm-hmm. in that combination, I have 11 children, and some of them are with split families. So they only come the week that the Catholic parent has them. It's so hard.
Well, but Linda, real quickly before we let you go, maybe teach the children about their guardian angel. Okay, start to develop their relationship with their guardian angel.
I do have a unit on that one too.
Good. Because it sounds like they're not getting reinforced consistently at home, and their guardian angel, if it starts to be a friend to them, will help them, you know, actually help to catechize them. So yeah, that could really assist. Thank you, Linda. You are wonderful. What a great catechist you are.
Oh, I need a lot of help. Every time I go in there, I know the Holy Spirit is doing this, not me.
Yeah, it could be discouraging, and what we need to do is turn that discouragement around into viewing this as an opportunity, a blessed, holy opportunity to help. You know, Jesus had such a great love for the little ones, for the kids. If we share that love with him, then we will pour our hearts and souls into it. And as we always say on the show, Debbie, be detached, in a sense, detached from the outcome.
From the outcome.
You know, we can't think, well, it failed because I did everything I could and the kids now aren't coming or whatever. You just got to go in and do it and say, yep. Lord, you take care of the results, what comes out the other end.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. God bless you so very much. Where are we going next, Jerry?
Well, we're going to get to more phone calls in a moment, but we got a text, and you can text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and then put in your comment. Depending on your phone plan, there might be a small ding on your data plan there. But John sent in a text, and this is beautiful. John says, I became a catechist at the age of 75 because of this episode.
Wow. Wow,
that's amazing. I hope he means this episode of the program. That would be exciting. Way to go, John.
Or this episode that it wasn't thriving, the parish, mm-hmm. and then he decided to jump in at 75. Way to go, John. Amen to that. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we'll be right back. Today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Don't get me started, Jerry. When I put my catechetical hat on, it just starts rolling because it's been many years and I've seen a lot. I've seen kids grow up, get married. I've even seen them get divorced. It's just, there's so many things happening, and I just firmly believe we need a solid catechesis. Michael and I were just talking about that gentleman that texted, maybe because we have done this show before several times about jumping into ministry and religious education. So if this particular conversation or topic or this show inspires you to jump into ministry, please do so. Get that ministry bug. It's a good bug to get. Right, Jerry?
Absolutely. All right. Is your parish thriving or surviving? 833-288-3986. We thank the callers for their patience, starting with Beth next, who is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. First time caller to Take Two. Hi, Beth. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. How about you?
Great. I'm doing great. And our parish is, I'm from St. Anne in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. And I was telling the call screener, I mean, our church has thrived even through the lockdowns. And we are right on the border of Illinois and Wisconsin. So we have a lot of families who are leaving the Chicago Archdiocese because they are locking down again. We have a lot of new members that are coming across the border to be fed. And we have a wonderful pastor that is so holy and just so spiritual. And we have a lot of young families, and our ministries are fantastic. I'm part of a women's kind of formation Bible study group. It's called, we call it Grace Group. We've got like all these new members that are coming in that have just joined this fall, and they are, everyone that introduced themselves said, we are looking to be fed, and we can't, and we're here because we need to be fed. And it's mm-hmm. just, to me, it's very exciting that we are thriving. And it just mm-hmm. does my heart good after all this sadness and lockdown that we actually have right. a parish. We're part of a parish that's growing.
Mm-hmm. You're blessed. You're blessed, Beth. Thank you for being a first-time caller. And you said that the people said they want to be fed. That is so true. And that's what, because we're on a journey. And if you're on a journey, right, you're moving along. And what does that mean? That means mm-hmm. you need to get, you know, refueled. That means you need the energy to make it through the journey. And you've got to get fed and fed with the truth. The gospel right. message of Jesus Christ, right? And people are hungry for that. That's why YouTube videos are off the charts. People are getting catechized late at night with YouTube videos from priests and, mm-hmm. and various sources. I think it's wonderful, but wouldn't it be great to have the parish community, like your community, be vibrant and alive so people can mm-hmm. have a destination place that they can go to and build fellowship and build, you know, a strong Christian, you know, foundation? What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I just was making notes. I said, I used the same exact word you did. I said, people everywhere are hungry to know God and grow more in their spiritual lives. And mm-hmm. Beth, you mentioned your pastor. That is the key. The pastor, in so many ways, is the key. Lay people can start and run all sorts of different ministries and so forth, but if the pastor is open to the Holy Spirit and really just basically says, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to come and do yes. whatever you want in my parish, mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, that is so very, very important. So bless
well,
you, Beth.
I go with your, when your last caller mentioned about you know, I'm 64 years old, and I my generation has not very improperly catechized. And it seems like it's my generation that is so hungry now to learn because mm-hmm. we were never taught. And those of us that are waking up now, it our picture is offering a lot of opportunities for adult formation. And
That's
I
great.
Really believe that is important. We have women in our grace group that are in their 80s
and they're mm-hmm. saying, this is the first time I've ever heard this before.
That's
you know, so it's an exciting time if mm-hmm. people want to wake up. And there mm-hmm. there are places out there that you can be fed. You just might have to seek them out.
Right. Beth, I couldn't agree more. I ran an adult formation program at a parish for 5 years. The pastor was completely committed to adult formation, not for sacramental prep or anything that was mandatory, just for, mm-hmm. for people to voluntarily come each and every week on a Thursday evening for 2 hours uh-huh. to mm-hmm. be fed, to be fully catechized. These fine folks journeyed with this program for 5 years. They came every Thursday night, and two of the wonderful people that, and we had as many as like 50 to 75 people would come. We, two of the attendees were in their 80s, and they would sit in the front row. And mm-hmm. I would say this to them all the time. When are you done with formation in the Catholic Church? And they would say, "We know, Debbie, when we take our last breath." And
I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You never stop growing. That's the beauty yep. of our faith. There's so much to know, and if I studied every day for the rest of my life, I still wouldn't even know a third. You know, even just like starting with the saints. I mean, you mm-hmm. just can't. But it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful. It's a wonderful faith that I'm happy that I was called back, mm-hmm. and. Just continue to grow. You know, you catch that fire, and man, you know, and again, things like I listen to EWTN every day, and but there's so many more opportunities now to learn. I really appreciate like the spiritual direction, David Anders and Patrick Madrid, and all those shows that I have learned so much just via the radio. And EWTN television. It's just amazing, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, I have always said for many, many years, Catholic radio is kind of like your 24/7 parish, if you will, because we can't be at our churches all the time.
Right.
But EWTN radio is there 24/7, and it can fill in so many of the gaps, not necessarily gaps, but just sort of continue to feed us through EWTN Catholic Radio and Television. So we are so very, very blessed. And, you know, Beth, when it comes down to quality of life, one of the most important aspects of our lives is spiritual. It's our church. It is our the life of our church and what we get out of our church and, of course, what we give to our church as well. So mm-hmm. you are really, really blessed to be having the experience that you shared with us. We thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love your show.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Beth.
Appreciate
we love
it.
You, too. Thank you. Hey, Jerry, that gentleman that texted that jumped into catechesis at 75, Matt was confirming that it was because of this show. So thank you. We'll give a round of applause to the Take Two family because you guys do it. We're just the facilitators here. You guys really take this show to great heights because of your lived experiences. How cool is that,
praise
Jerry?
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah.
75. I love that. Hey, you know what? That's what seniors should do. If you're retired and you've got a little extra time, go volunteer to be a catechist. I think it's fabulous.
Or many other things in the parish as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks again, Beth. Catherine is in Houston listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Catherine. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Good morning. I think you guys truly could end the show now with those two calls.
True.
We want to hear what your wisdom is, too.
Well, the news out of Wisconsin is fabulous. My first thought was that for years when I've listened to Catholic radio and hear the calls coming out of the north, like New York and all those areas, they often lament that the churches are empty and they don't see children. And I always think to myself, gosh, come down to Texas, because in Dallas and Houston, San Antonio and Austin and all the tiny towns in between, we have a multitude of Catholic churches and they're full. English masses, Spanish masses, Vietnamese masses, they are full to the tippy top. And even through the pandemic, everybody sought out, you know, which churches have started to open, which churches, you know, have availability. And I have to share that, of course, the ones with the Latin masses, those churches grew all the more with families, with babies and children, and people have flocked to them. But it seems to me there's that bumper sticker that says Jesus is the reason for the season, and that helps everybody to remember Christ at Christmas. But it's also Jesus is the reason for Sundays, and that's the one thing we have that all the other churches don't. We have the Eucharist. And I do feel like Houston has had a push to encourage that teaching. Like, why are we here? Why do we come? And that message is all the more beautiful after the COVID restrictions lift and people really come back and realize the difference between watching at home and sitting in the pews. But the original reason why I called was it evaporated in the thought of what is really happening in other parts of the country that don't experience this richness and teaching. And I go to an order church, and the teaching there is quite robust and beautiful and extraordinary. And people drive all the way across town for 40 minutes to get there to come in here and be fed.
Wow, that's terrific. Yeah, and, you know, one of the important things that I heard you say, Catherine, is, you know, the people came back in droves, if you will, which implies that the foundation was there already, it sounds like, before the shutdowns and the COVID and all of that. It sounds like the churches were already thriving, and I have met a number of priests from throughout Texas and the Southwest and other parts of the country, and I see in them a real devotion and a dedication, a prayer life. You know, they're really prayerful, but they're not, you know, they're not sticks in the mud. You know, they're very vibrant, dynamic, and joyful. And Debbie, I know you've been to Texas a lot of times to speak and do other things, and you've probably seen the same thing. And it's not just Texas, you know, but this right. This is in many other places.
Well, yeah, it's when you see that, Catherine, it's so beautiful to see just the faith come alive and how people just embrace their parish communities. And you, like you said, drive 45 minutes to attend a mass at a parish nearby. I live in Arizona, Catherine, as you know, and I fly back east a few times. I used to fly a few times a year before COVID. And I agree with you. You know, back east, there's certain pockets that are very vibrant, but for the most part, it seems like, you know, the elderly are keeping the parishes alive. And then there's, you know, not enough young people coming in. I live in the Southwest, and we're like the home of mega parishes. And it sounds like you have that in Texas as well. And I remember going to an event back in New York area, and they said, "What's a mega parish?" And I said, "Oh, that's a gigantic parish of thousands and thousands of people." And you know, it's really a beautiful thing. And I just pray that folks who are listening to this show maybe will say, you know, we need to have that in our parish community. Hey, if you have a church building, I say go for it. You know, start the ministry, start talking to the leadership there, start talking to the pastor, and see if you can really just kind of infuse a new sense of, you know, life to the parish. I think it's very important, because as you can hear it in your voice, Catherine, you're just beaming with joy.
I do love it. And I think Jerry nailed it when he, or maybe both of you said it, when the pastor preaches and prays and asks the Holy Spirit to use him and his teaching and his parish and the people and the volunteers and the lay and everybody, come Holy Spirit, he does.
Right.
And the caller that was just before me is kind of representative of that. So thank you for the show and for sharing all the beautiful ideas and letting people share their frustrations and then hear the successes.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Catherine, for being a part of it. We appreciate it very, very much. Hope you have a blessed day.
Beautiful. Yeah, I agree with you. Houston area is just booming with the faith. I love it.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, I want to encourage people, if you aren't able to listen to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie live on a regular basis, or you know someone who might benefit from listening to the program, keep in mind that it replays at midnight Eastern time on many of these same EWTN stations. So we have the live broadcast here at noon, the lunch bunch in the East, and for those who are up a little bit later, across the country, an encore at midnight Eastern Time, 9 Pacific, on many of these same EWTN stations.
Speaking of Texas, again, in Houston, if you're in driving distance to Dallas, please. We have a couple more spots, and they're going to close out. They're going to close up this week for the marriage enrichment retreat that Marty and I are speaking at, along with Lisa Jones at St. Gabriel's in Dallas, Fort Worth. It's going to be so fabulous. It's not for just newlyweds. It's people that are newly married all the way up to 50, 60 years. It's going to be a blast. Just go to take2show.com. Click on the tab, Where is Jerry and Debbie? Scroll down. You'll see the brochure. You can register. Please join us. I would love to meet you. I'm just super. I love Texas. I have to tell you, we need to go back and do another pilgrimage. And by the way, the folks in Colorado keep asking us, we must make it to Colorado this next year, the beginning of next year.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to your calls now. Al in Staten Island or on Staten Island, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130 and a first-time caller to Take Two. Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Glad that you called.
No, thank you for taking the call. You know, I go every Sunday, my wife and I, and I think the difference between the thriving and the dying depends on the age of the parish. Certainly we want the young children, and we want all children, but the elderly, you know, before COVID, are such that and set in their ways, and I'm one, okay? I'm 68. So, but when things change, a pastor, or they don't like something, a lot of them just pull the plug on the church with finances and attendance. And it grows and grows where you look back and you say, what happened to this guy or that guy? And then you start looking around and they say, wow, this guy's not the pastor. He's not the older pastor we have. So, okay, so we have that. And then there'll be sermons, as Debbie said in the beginning, where the pastor couldn't, or not the pastor, but the priest couldn't follow a thought pattern. And we're having sermons on golf clubs and swings and, you know, not being, you know, being able to hit that drive but not giving up. That's not what people are looking for. I get the analogy. But the sports analogy in a homily, it just doesn't, it's just not there. And, you know, that being out of touch. I mean, I leave church sometimes and my wife will say, it's a good sermon. I said, do you really think that that's what people came to hear? You know, God love my wife. Her glass isn't always half full. It's always full. But mm-hmm. That's my observation.
I think it's a really honest observation, Al. And this is the kind of conversations we want to have because we want people to reach their highest potential, right? And that includes in the priesthood, in their vocation. And so it's not trying to be critical. It's just saying, hey, just like you would get prepared for a speech or to go to an event or to even prepare to give a talk, I mean, to give a presentation in your college, classroom, you have to prepare and you have to know your audience and you have to know what they want to receive. And you should understand that. And so you got to invest in it each and every week. It becomes something that is, it's a big responsibility. And I'm not saying that all priests do this, but sometimes I think there's a bit of an autopilot that goes into play that they read the readings and then they go, okay, I know how to preach on that. Well, it doesn't always work like that. I think there needs to be, like Jerry said, prayer to the Holy Spirit and a real, you know, understanding and readiness to be preaching to a congregation that really truly is hungry for the deep truth. I agree with you, Al. I don't think it's a criticism. I think it's a critique that is necessary. What do you think, Jerry?
Go ahead, Al.
No, I totally agree. And then up here in the East, the problem that we have is that there are a shortage of priests, and God, I hope that changes. But we have lovely priests that come, but from different countries. So now, Debbie, you said know your audience. Well, the audience is, say, 70 plus, and we have a wonderful gentleman, but there's an accent that cannot be broken. And the churches that we have, they've got to be 40 foot tall, those ceilings. So you take the homily, the language barrier and the accent on a cavernous church, they're not hearing it. They can't hear the word. And so you have that. So you have that, you have the older, and it gets really difficult. And then you'll get somebody and say, oh, that comes across, and we're talking golf clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those priests that you're talking about, God bless them. They come to the USA, which is, you know, in many ways mission territory now. And you're right, it is sometimes difficult to make out what they're saying. I would say we need to pray for all of our priests, but especially these priests who come from Africa and different parts of the world. Their heart is totally completely set on helping us grow in holiness and feeding us spiritually and so forth. And I'm sure it's a cross that they have to bear as well, mm-hmm. that knowing that they're not being understood as well as, say, a native English speaker would be. But, yeah, just getting back to the I knew a priest once who spent 12 hours a week preparing for his homily, and wow. I'm looking at a Catholic news agency story from 2019. The average homily for a priest is 14 minutes, and so Al and Debbie, we all know that if a priest has only 14 minutes of his parishioners' attention per week, it has to be a home run homily mm-hmm. every Amen. Time. Every time it has to be a home run, and that preparation has to be put in. I'm not saying 12 hours like this other priest I knew, but definitely a few hours of both study, prayer, and preparation. I guess that's three
Absolutely.
Things. Yeah.
Absolutely. And
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, there's a thing called a supermarket approach, okay? You go down, you can't get everything in every aisle. So it's that one thing you pick. But if there's, you know, in the homily, if there's nothing, in the homilies, if people can just walk away with one thing, and I'll be brief. We had a wonderful priest, gave his homily, but he was thinking about how we observe at the offertory the bread and the wine as it's lifted up. And we look, as he raises it high, our eyes are brought higher. I had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes wow. raising to the cross, and we're following the cross rise. And he was completely, this gentleman could not stretch any farther with both items. And it was just amazing. It's that one thing, just people don't need to grab it all, just grab something that they can build on for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I just want to say real quickly, because I work with a lot of priests from Nigeria, from various the Philippines. And when they come to the diocese, Jerry is right. They want to spread the message so clearly to us. And English is not their first language. And so they do. That is something they have to work on. And they do it really well. But I had this one beautiful Nigerian priest, and he actually said that he chooses to just tell all the parishioners, you know, English is not my first language, so I'm going to give you three sentences and listen to them, closely. And he read them very slowly, and it's exactly what you said, Al. They were a home run, three home runs, and it was like, wow. And that's, you're right. If you can say one sentence and it could really pierce somebody's, you know, heart and soul, and that's a good thing, and that's what you want, I think, anyway. What do you think, Jerry?
I agree very, very much. Al, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Running short on time, going to try to squeeze in one or two more. Nick in Detroit listening on Ave Maria Radio. We've got about 90 seconds, Nick, so fire away.
Oh, okay. I'll try and be fast then. So I go to a parish, and it's been kind of interesting from my observation. We have an 11 a.m. crowd, and that crowd kind of got hurt during the pandemic. Now many people were showing up afterwards. They have, like, good numbers, but not as many people. Not everyone has returned, unfortunately. And then we have a 5 p.m. crowd, which has stayed really strong throughout the whole pandemic and is just growing every week, it seems like. And just kind of like tying together two things I heard earlier, you know, and I know it's a hot topic in the church, so all I can offer is my observation. But the 5 p.m. is a Latin mass. And I noticed that what seems to be happening, and I'm like a 23-year-old, I just joined the church less than a year ago, also because I was drawn to Latin mass. I think it's attracting a very young crowd full of energy and vibrancy who, you know, kind of are bringing a bit of a steadfastness that's kind of nice to see. And of course, you know, the liturgy doesn't determine a person's holiness at all.
Right.
And you see holy people in both things. I just noticed that sometimes the people who are the Latin Mass seems to attract people who are looking for something new, you know, and they're already coming to the table with a lot of energy and zeal, and there's lots of kids, there's lots of families. The parents spend just as much time, if not more, at the parish as the kids. It's not any drop and runs. So,
right.
Just kind of, you know, kind of my observations of things.
Yeah, you know what I think they're looking for, Nick? Yeah, they're looking for something new, like you said, but they're also looking for something old, something ancient, something unchanging that has been there in the church for, a couple thousand years, or at least many, many hundreds of years. I know different rites of the Mass have changed throughout the history of the church. But what we need to do, and the Novus Ordo Mass gets a lot of criticism from sometimes from those who go to Latin Masses. I love the Latin Mass. I think it's beautiful, but also a reverently and holy and beautifully celebrated Novus Ordo Mass with great hymns and reverence and hands folded and altar servers doing their thing, Debbie. It could be just as fulfilling and just as edifying, I believe.
Yes, I completely agree. Judith, thank you, Nick. We're not going to get to you, Judith, in Syracuse, New York. You can always call back or you can email us, take2@ewtn.com. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about, have you ever had the opportunity, the just unbelievable opportunity to save a person's life? That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Until then, we wish you a beautiful and blessed day in the year of St. Joseph. We ask St. Joseph, please pray for us. Amen.